Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
We are in our series, Through Christ. And so if you remember back, we started the first three chapters last fall, and now we have spent 3 weeks, and we'll finish chapter 4 of Ephesians today. Last week, Denny was talking about throwing off, or taking off, and putting on. And so if you actually missed last week, you haven't heard that message, I would just encourage you to do that. Because what we're talking about today is based on what he taught last week. There is a progression. We need to understand what he taught last week about what it looks like to put off and then put on. He talked about this idea, this tense in the Greek, that helped us understand that it's already, but not yet. So our salvation, it's already done. But not yet. Our identity in Christ, already done, but we haven't experienced all of that yet. Someday we will in His presence. I thought Denny did a really nice job, and I encourage you to listen to that, but I did think he missed one point. I felt he could help us by demonstrating taking off the old and putting on the new. And so if he'd have taken that nasty Cincinnati Bengals t-shirt off, that wouldn't have been good for anybody. I owe him like 18 more, so don't worry. If you're feeling bad for Denny, don't. Okay, don't. Okay, so that idea of taking off, we're going to use that illustration later to help us understand our walk with the Lord. This is fundamental, and it's hard, not just because it's a complex idea, but because it's so contrary to how we think. You know, God's ways are not our ways. And if we were to create a religion, you know what we'd do? We'd make a bunch of rules, and if you follow those, or enough of those, right? We base our understanding of who God is based on our relationships with other people. He's not like us. So this is so important for us to hear the truth, understand that truth, and then begin to apply that truth. That's the thing. This truth today can take us from our infancy and our immaturity and be part of us growing on towards maturity. So let's look at Ephesians 4. You can do that on your app. You can do it on the screens here as we go through 10 verses, the last 10 verses of chapter 4. Verse 22. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So this idea of putting off or taking off and then putting on the new. Take off the old, corrupt way of living, your natural humanity, the way that we were born and then the way that we lived. It's ruined, it's spoiled. It's tainted, it's dirty. Put that off. And then put on this new way of living. This is what we're being challenged with. And practically, what does that look like? And I do think the illustration of the clothing. Imagine yourself stepping into your closet. and you're looking. On the left is the old. It's fairly comfortable. You've worn it a lot, but it's old and it's dirty. It's defiled. And on the other side is the new. The new way of living. Put that on instead. And it's important for us to know that actually part of our walk with God, our growing and maturing, is starting at this place. Based on all that God has done, given us everything we need, one of the things He gave us was His Holy Spirit living in us. He made us new. We have this opportunity. So as we come to that place where we're deciding whether we're going to put on the old or put on the new, asking the Spirit of God, asking Him to help us, to show us. We're going to talk more about what that specifically looks like, but that's the heart of walking with Him. It's surrendering to the Spirit of God. It's moving away from the old and embracing the new. Baptism coming up in 2 weeks. What a great picture. And it's really just this outward expression of this inward reality. When a person places their faith in Christ, they are crucified with Him, meaning that they're buried with Him. And then they're resurrected. Go ahead and show the video and just picture that. That's what we're seeing. The symbolism of baptism is for people who've placed their faith in Christ. And when we place our faith in Christ, we're given the Holy Spirit. We are giving all of these things. Our identity is secure in Him, forgiveness of sin. And the old is buried, and we come up new. That's the symbolism of baptism. That's why it's so important. And that's why we do it in the service, so we can all see that and be reminded that that's what's at play here. Leaving the old there and grabbing the new. In this text that we'll see here in just a second, there's a lot of very specific things. But don't get hung up on that. The thing to do is to actually recognize it as we go through those. This is not a complete list. In fact, at the end it says, and all evil things. This isn't a Ten Commandments. This isn't like, hey, if you follow these 10 things, you'll be growing. No, no, no. What needs to happen is surrender. That's the basis then for our growth. The fact is He works in our hearts, in our minds. Just like baptism, it's an outward expression of an inward reality. The world's religions would tell you otherwise, right? You can go around this globe, and whether it's Islam or Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, you can go animism, you can go all around the world, and what you'll find in religion are rules. Follow these rules. Don't do that and do this. Don't do that and do this. And it's all external. All the rules are external, and they're coming in from the outside. All of those rules are things that if you'll do and you'll follow and you'll do them the right way at the right time and say the right thing and live the right way. And some of them are good things, right? Morality is not bad. Being honest is not bad. But those list of rules are the outside, and they're attempting to change the inside. That is the exact opposite of what we believe and what Scripture teaches us about our spiritual life. Our spiritual life starts on the inside and goes to the outside. Our spiritual life isn't about being nice or good or having integrity or being moral. Ours is about being new. Christ died on the cross not to help us be better people. He died on the cross so we could be new people, a new creation. And let Him change our hearts and minds. In fact, verse 23, almost where we started, says this: instead of having all those rules, the do's and the don'ts, to try to make your life cleaned up, try to make God love you, try to make God accept you, find forgiveness. No, no, no. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It's internal. Renew your thoughts and attitudes. Our mind and our hearts. Our thoughts and our attitudes, having the Spirit of God renew those to change them. That really is the heart of the matter. It is our heart change. And we're not doing it to earn God's love. He already loves us completely. He already loves us. We're not doing these things so we find forgiveness. He's already forgiven us if we've placed our faith in Him. We're doing this because we're new and He is renewing our minds. He's transforming us into more and more like His image. I think about the Pharisees, because if there was ever a group of people that got their religion right and the heart of the matter wrong, it was them. If we were to meet the Pharisees in Jesus' time, or probably any time in history, there's always this group of people that follow the rules. And remember, God gave them the rules. The rules in themselves aren't the problem. But these Pharisees lived by the rules. If you're ever thinking, man, that guy could or that lady could earn their way to heaven, it would have been the Pharisees. They followed all the rules. They tithed. They did all the ceremonial things. They knew God's word. They knew the Torah. They could memorize it. They would carry it around. They'd put it on their foreheads in little scrolls, and they would write it on them. They'd have it all around their house. They would do all the ceremonies. They would keep the Sabbath. They would do all the things. They looked the part. Most of us would aspire to have that kind of clarity and the integrity and the morality of them. And yet, what did Jesus say to them? Man, you guys are awesome. Keep up the good work. Hey, everybody else, look at these guys. This is how you're supposed to be living. What's wrong with you? What did Jesus say to them? He called them vipers. He said, you guys are the blind leading the blind. You're living by these rules, and it's all external. What about your heart? He says, you guys are like a coffin. And the coffin looks nice. It's all decorated, maybe flowers on top, ornate, beautiful, expensive. But what's inside of it? Dead, rotting, decaying flesh. Inside its death. That's how Jesus described these people who kept all the rules. Did the do's and didn't do the don'ts. That's what he said about them. Why? Their heart. They were counting on those external things to change their heart, and God wants to change our heart to change the external things, not the other way around. They had it backwards. Often those things look good to us. Like I said, it's how we kind of think. And God's saying, hey, there's a new thing here. It's not the old law of Moses. There's a new law. It's the law of love. It's the law of grace. It starts with our heart. I think about the rich young ruler. This young guy who is going to be a Pharisee someday, I would imagine, right? He's wealthy because God had blessed him. He did everything right. And he'd lived by the law. In fact, in the conversation about following Jesus, he makes the statement, I have followed the law from the time I was a child until today. I mean, think about it. Not just the Ten Commandments, the 713 ones, and I've always followed them since the time I was a kid. I couldn't get through one day without breaking those. And he's saying, my whole life. Jesus, in hearing that, could have rebuked him. But what Jesus does is help him to see. And so Jesus asks him the question, then why don't you, if you want to follow me, why don't you go ahead and go and sell everything you have, and then you can come follow me. And what's the rich young ruler do? He puts his head down and he walks away. He's dejected. Why? He was rich. In this idea of not having any other gods before him, he thought he was keeping, but his heart was more interested and more in love than his money than he was in following Jesus. Jesus exposed his heart. That the rich young ruler needed a heart change, not a behavior change. So that's where it leads us up to these verses that help us understand how to put off the old and put on the new. Here's some specifics in verse 25. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Put off lying. That's part of the old. Why do we lie? It's a heart issue. The reason we lie is to protect ourselves. Maybe to protect our reputation. I don't want you to know what I did, so I'll lie about it. Lying is rooted in self-centeredness, in pride. I want to take advantage of you. That's the old. How would I put on the new? By surrendering to the Spirit. Ask Him to change my mind and my attitude about myself and others. Have Him change my mind so I actually would put other people first instead of myself. That instead of lying, I would speak the truth in love. Not just love, not just truth. Speaking the truth in love because I care more about you than I do myself. That my fears that I have in the old, my fear is taken away because I know who I am and whose I am. And love, in the simplest definition, is actually meeting the needs of other people. Demonstrating that. Speaking the truth in love. That's what God would have. And so this is the choice that I'm faced with. This is the choice that we're all faced with as believers, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let's continue. Verse 26 and 7 says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil." I could talk about the old way of anger, either bottling it up and then exploding, or trying to just let off steam as you go. Both of those are of the old. It's saying, don't be angry. There's another verse that says, be angry, but don't sin. Is that possible? Is it possible to be angry and not sin? Yes, our emotions in and of themselves are not sin. It's what we do with that anger. What do we typically do with that anger? We lash out, we hurt other people, say things that we'd love to take back later, do things that we hate what we did and we said it, now I'm sorry, and but I can't seem to control it. Anger in itself is not sinful. Jesus got angry and didn't sin. When he went to the temple, he goes into the temple and he sees the place of prayer, the place for all Israel to come and worship their God, the one true God. And instead of it being a place of prayer and worship, they turn it into a marketplace. And he drives them out. He was incensed. He was angry at the evil that was taking place. He was angry at the good that was being prevented. Here's a definition about righteous anger. And that's the key. That our anger, if it does anything, it should lead us to righteous anger. This is what it says. Righteous anger is energy to defend something good and stopping what is evil. Let me read it again. Righteous anger is energy to defend something good, stopping what is evil. But let's be honest. Our definition of righteous gets all over the place. Our definition of good is all over the place. We're not Jesus. We don't see everything. So be very, very careful when you start thinking, well, I'm going to stop this evil and I'm going to defend these things that are good. Certainly that would be the energy to change things that are wrong, like abuse, maybe even poverty. People being taken advantage of. But be very, very careful in how we let that play out. Most of the time, we miss it. And our anger and our response then to others can be sinful. Put off the old, put on the new. If you're a thief, verse 28 and 29, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Think about a thief. Why would someone steal? Well, they have a need. Why do they have a need? Well, we don't always know, but in this case, it's because they aren't working. The old is actually thinking, I think others should provide for me. I'm the center. You exist for me. Everybody in here exists for me. Everybody, you guys all exist for me. And so the things you're doing should all benefit me. That's the old. What's the new? Just the opposite. That every one of you online here in this room, aren't more important than me. That's the new. That's the new life that we have. That's what he's wanting us to live in, the reality of that, the truth of that. Change my heart and mind so that I might work hard and be, what, generous to meet the needs of others. That's what the new life should represent. Coming to him, asking him, if you don't feel like being generous, ask him to change your heart. Change your mind about generosity. Change your mind about your money. Change your mind about your time. Change your mind about other people and how valuable they are. So we go from stealing, self-centered, through the power of the Spirit, to be generous with our time, with our lives, with our finances. That's what he would lead us to. Put off foul and abusive language. Man, our words matter. I don't think this is just a list of the cuss words that we might say or others would say. This is abusive language. Has more of an idea of destruction. James is describing the tongue, the little bitty tongue. And it's a fire. And one little spark from a word said, an unkind, a harsh, judgmental, hurtful thing that we say can actually start a fire that will burn down a forest. That's how dangerous our mouth is, the words that we say. The old doesn't really care. I will say the things that I want to say, and if I don't like you, I'm going to lean in this way. If I think you're standing in my way of success, I'm going to undermine you with the words I say, what I tell other people about you. That's what I'm going to do. That is the old way. Well, what would the new way be? And how would we get there? We put that off. What do we put on? Surrender to the Spirit of God. Surrender to Him. Follow His leading. Put off bitterness. Put those things off, the rage that comes that follows anger. I want us to read verse 30. It says this, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." There's a theology in that verse that is be really easy to miss. The doctrine or the theology that is there is most of people, world's religions, even some Christians would say, if you place your faith in Christ and you get saved and have your sins forgiven, if you sin after that, you're not saved. That's pretty fairly common. A lot of us in here, we're taught that way. But what does this verse teach us about sin in the life of a believer? I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. I have all my sins forgiven, past, present, and future. So what happens when I sin? What is that evidence of? It's evidence that I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not actually surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I'm actually making Him sorrow, putting sorrow, grieving Him. That's what's happening. Thessalonians describes it as quenching or pushing down the Holy Spirit. If you sin, and when you sin as a believer, you are not listening to the Holy Spirit, and that grieves Him. And why does it grieve Him? Because we're not living in the freedom that God gave us. We're not living in that new life that He died for so that we could have this new life and have a new purpose. It grieves Him when we live over here. We put that old clothing on the way we were. And it grieves Him because over here is nothing but slavery and bondage and hurt and pain for me and people I love. And it grieves Him. It makes Him sad. It brings sorrow to Him because He knows what God would have for me and the freedom and the joy and the peace. And I'm over here wallowing in it. And I'm enslaved. I'm enslaved to the sin. I'm enslaved to my pride. I'm enslaved to my anger, my harsh words, getting my way, selfish. I'm a slave to that. And He's grieved because He wants me to experience freedom. Freedom. I think part of the problem is how we view sin. In the second service, we had a group from Tybee Valley FFA, Future Farmers America. I was in it. And they were here, and I was thinking about when I was that age and in FFA, and I was thinking about my view of sin then. I got saved when I was 16 years old, placed my faith in Christ, but I didn't want to put off the things I was doing. It's fun. You know, Scripture actually tells us that the pleasure of sin, there's a pleasure in it. If there wasn't, we wouldn't be doing it. There's a pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season. It's the thing that leads us and takes us into captivity, into addictions and broken relationships. There's nothing over here but pain, and yet I think God's withholding these good, fun things from me. That's how I felt for many years after I came to faith in Christ. And I was grieving the Holy Spirit because he was seeing what I was doing with my life and how I was destroying it and the bondage that I was in and what I did to other people. And he's wanting me over here, living this fulfilled life, this surrendered life of joy and freedom. So, I want to go to verse 32. So we'll skip 31. 32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." See, at the end of this list, so to speak, of all these things that we should put off, it says, actually put off all kinds of evil. The point of what we're talking about is not the specifics of anger or lying or these specific things. What it is, it's all kinds of evil. And the remedy, the recipe for victory in your Christian life is right here laid out in front of us. Build on what Denny talked about last week. Go back and listen to it if you're having trouble understanding, because this is the place. This is, we're standing and looking at the two things that we have. You have a conscious choice to make as a believer. Will I go back to the old? Will I surrender to the Spirit and ask Him to change my mind, my thoughts, my attitude? Change how I see Him, you, this truth. It talks about bitterness and rage and anger. Those are all the things over there. I was thinking about forgiveness. And that's how this section ends. Forgiving one another. So putting off unforgiveness and putting on forgiveness. Nick talked a little bit about his dad this morning and how he got to a place, despite all of the hurts that he'd experienced growing up, he finally got to the place of being able to forgive his father. Forgive his father for sin and hurt, abuse that had happened. And then he made the statement, "And if I hadn't, I wouldn't be able to be the father to Mila and Elijah that I want to be." You know, unforgiveness is a lot like bitterness. If you have someone that's hurt you, it feels kind of good to stay mad at them, doesn't it? To be angry and withhold that forgiveness. You know that it bought you. You're holding back on forgiving them. You know, that's like drinking poison, hoping it kills that other person. You're damaging yourself. You're killing yourself. You're making yourself sick and miserable with that unforgiveness. That's the old. And hear me, if you're in an abusive relationship, get out and get some help. This isn't, I'm not talking about reconciliation with someone who's an abuser. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the ability to forgive a person who has abused us. That doesn't mean we're back in that same relationship. It means that I am not carrying the baggage of the hurt that they did to me. That I can forgive even when I can't forget. I can't do it on my own. It's going to be the Spirit of God changing my heart and my mind to be able to do that. One thing that the Spirit, when I pray that, when I'm angry and I'm hurt by someone, and someone's maybe withholding forgiveness from me, and I then I want to not forgive them, and I get angry. What would be my response? What would God have in there? If I keep looking at the person who hurt me, I'm waiting for them. I'm waiting for them to come and give me an apology. Maybe even beg a little bit for forgiveness. At least ask for it. And I don't mean this lame apology like, I'm sorry you thought I meant that, or I'm sorry that hurt you. No, no, no. What you did is what hurt me. Right? Now, I want them to come and really lay it out here. In fact, maybe they come up here and share with all of you how wrong they were to me. That would be good. That's what we think about forgiveness. Guess what? As I find myself not forgiving, I don't want to put on the old and just hang on to it. I want to go to the new. I want to live the new life that He's given me. Surrender to the Spirit. Let Him change my mind. And you know what He's told me? This is how He changed my mind. Look up. Look up, Todd. Look up to your Father. Look up to your Savior. And ask how much you've been forgiven by them. Ask them what forgiveness cost. It's the life of Christ. Christ gave His life so I could have forgiveness. And what is forgiven? Every sin I've ever committed, past, present, and future, they're forgiven, they're paid for, they're under the blood. How could I not forgive someone who did one thing or 10 things or even 100 things? Look at ourselves and every sin you've ever committed. If you've placed your faith in Christ, it's paid for. It's forgiven. How dare us hold back forgiveness to someone else? That's the old. The new would be we'd be able to forgive because we recognize how much we have been forgiven. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We recognize that the old way is bondage and slavery. We ask God to have His Spirit change our hearts and minds. We surrender to the Spirit, to His leading, and let Him change us from the inside out to live and experience that new life that He died to give us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the forgiveness we have in You. We're so grateful for Your Spirit and His work in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would bring an understanding beyond our abilities, beyond the words of this message, beyond these things, but the truth that You tell us about living this new life of taking off and then putting on. I pray that You would help us to understand that. Lord, give us a desire. Give me a desire to follow You and surrender to Your leading. You are so, so good to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.
If you're encouraged by today's message, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help take your next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any social media channels. Thank you for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.